collection of days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise.
Well, this begins our fall series that's going to take us through the month of October as we are talking about community. Last fall, those of you who remember, because I know a year later you remember all of the messages that you've heard on Sunday morning, right? I can see Roger's like, yeah, all right. Last year, we were going through the book of 1 Timothy, and we were talking about the nature of the church. And in that, it just kind of occurred to us as a church that, you know, we have this thing called a membership covenant that we as members agree to as we join the church, and it helps us understand and kind of put together the biblical pieces of what does it mean to be in community together, and we express that in our membership covenant. And so part of that series last year, we read the membership covenant together. And that was one of the things that I heard from a lot of people out of that series was, you know, I think the most significant thing was reminding ourselves of what it is that we have agreed to as members of Salt Creek Church, of how we interact with one another, how we understand the Bible to define the community of the local church and what it means to be members. And so this fall, we want to build on that. And so what we're going to do, this is going to be a little bit of a different series. We're actually going to walk through that membership covenant together throughout September and October as we do this. And, you know, as I was thinking about membership, I was thinking about a couple of things. And you're wondering why I'm getting my wallet out. Because in my wallet, I've got a couple of cards that I thought I would mention. Does anybody recognize this little green card? What is that? Nice and loud. That's a Bi-Mart membership card, right? Yeah. $5 and you're a member for life and you can shop at Bi-Mart. So I remember when they put that in over in Monmouth and I was living over there. So we had one closer and I ran out and I got myself a Bi-Mart membership card. And I tell you what, I've moved around in probably a dozen places since I got that Bi-Mart membership card. And Bi-Mart finds me everywhere I move. My banks can never find me, but Bi-Mart can. I don't know what their system is, but they have a phenomenal system. You get those coupon books, right? All right, so Bi-Mart membership. I've got another one here. What is that one? Costco membership. Costs a little more than the Bi-Mart one, but I'll tell you what, I use it a lot more. I don't know about you, but maybe you use the Bi-Mart one. When it comes to church membership, I think a lot of people approach it like these, where you sign up and it comes with it certain benefits, and it's a relationship like you would have with a store. And as long as the store is going to provide a service for you that you appreciate, you will maintain your membership. But if at some point you feel like that store is no longer meeting your needs, you bail on it and you start shopping at Walmart or wherever it might be. I think a lot of people think of church membership in that way. Unfortunately, I don't think that's the right way to think about church membership. I think the way that God has designed church membership is it's a covenant community, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. And a covenant community is actually a lot more like a marriage, where we make certain commitments to one another to do life together. And it has to get really wrong before we walk away from it. It's not about, oh, well, I don't like how this little bit is going anymore, and so I'm going to bounce, and I'm going to go to another place. That's to me, that's store card membership. That's a commercial interaction. And I think we need to take this idea of covenant community and really think through what that looks like. You know, I know some of you have been through that process before where you maybe had to make that gut-wrenching decision to walk away from a church that you loved because of something that you absolutely disagreed with and thought was unbiblical. And my family was at that point when I was growing up where we had to make that decision as well. And it's a gut-wrenching decision that we don't come to lightly. But what we often see in the American evangelical climate is not that. What we often see is people that just kind of bounce around based on what is the best music or the best preaching or the best children's programs at the time. And that's one of the things that we want to just kind of identify and recognize, that Covenant Community calls us to a deeper level of connecting with one another and committing to one another than does being a part of a Bi-Mart membership or a Costco membership, all right? So with that in mind, we're going to start this out by reading our membership covenant together, all right? So we're going to have it on the screen here, we're just going to do this. I'm going to try to get far enough out of the way that I'm not blocking anybody, because while you think some of us might have it memorized, I don't think any of us do, but that's okay. So next week, come with it memorized, all right? That's your homework. School has started. That's your homework. All right. So, yes, we're talking about covenant in this. So, all right. So let's read this together here. It's going to be on a few screens to get through it, all right? So, having been led by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord by faith, and having publicly confessed Him through baptism by immersion in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we freely and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as a local body in Christ. We pledge, therefore, by the aid of God's Spirit, to live together in Christian love, to work for the advancement of God's kingdom through this church in knowledge, holiness, and mutual care, to support its ministry by a faithful stewardship of money, time, and talents, and to sustain its worship, ordinances, doctrines, and disciplines. We also pledge to maintain family and private worship, to rear our children in the nurture and spirit of the Lord, to seek the salvation of all members of our own families and our acquaintances, and to strive for maturity in ourselves and in our fellow Christians. We further pledge to follow Christian principles of morality in our daily living, to be ethical in our dealings and faithful in our commitments, to promote the unity of fellowship by proper attitudes and careful speech, and to be zealous in our efforts toward the advancement of the kingdom of God here and throughout the world. We further pledge to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember one another in prayer, and to aid each other in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy in feeling and courtesy in speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation, according to Matthew 18, 15 to 17. We moreover pledge that when we move from this place, we will, as soon as it is practical, unite with some church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. So that is the membership covenant. Now, if you've recited that, you're now a member. No, I'm kidding. There's a little bit more to actually joining as we share testimonies and that kind of stuff. So it may feel a little odd for those of you who are new or visiting or haven't gone through the membership process. But for those of you who had, it should be a very meaningful thing, recognizing that, yeah, this is who we are. This is why we are together. This is what we are about. And so today we're going to focus on kind of the first paragraph a little of that and kind of what the last paragraph talks about that's still on the screen. And just kind of talk about, in general, this idea of covenant community. It talks about that we covenant together. And so what does that mean? So before we do that and go to some of the scriptures to understand this, let's pray and just ask the Lord to be in this time. Father God, Lord, as we were reading that covenant, God, time and time again, we just recognize that it is only through your Holy Spirit that we can even begin to live out this covenant community, this idea that you created of what the church is to be like. And so, God, we just lean on you today. God, open our eyes to see what the vision that you have for covenant community is like, how we can enter into that, God, how you are glorified in it, and Lord, that we would have a deeper understanding of how we are to represent you in this world through community. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we think about this idea of covenant and covenant community, the question becomes, all right, so what is covenant community? You're saying these words, Pastor David. What is it? What are you talking about? The Evangelical Dictionary of Theology defines a covenant as a compact or agreement between two parties binding them mutually to undertakings on each other's behalf. So a covenant is something where we agree together and it influences how we treat one another, what we do for one another, how we care for one another. And throughout the Bible, you will encounter covenants as you read from Genesis to Revelation, because God is a covenant-keeping God. And he makes these promises and these commitments to his people, and he always follows through on them. Always, always, always. Even when it means following through on a covenant means discipline for his people, he follows through on his covenant. So beginning with Adam and throughout scriptures, we see God working through and communicating to his people through covenants. Now, when you come to Jesus, God ushered in through his son Jesus what we call the new covenant. It is a covenant of grace. And in that covenant, God promises to save all who come in faith to Jesus for forgiveness of their sins. And this covenant was actually announced by the prophets long before the Son of God actually came. Long before. Brian read the passage for us earlier in Jeremiah. We look at that again. In Jeremiah, it says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt." That was when God was working through Moses in that covenant. "Because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." Now, in addition to Jeremiah, God spoke through another prophet, a man by the name of Ezekiel, who ministered to God's people when they were in exile in Babylon. And in that, we see a very similar, but some slightly different, that gives us a fuller picture of it. And in Ezekiel, God says these words. He says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people and I will be your God. And I will save you from all your uncleanness." See, God has created this people, this covenant people, through this new covenant ushered in through Jesus Christ. And it is people who are, as we read in this, they are forgiven. They have received new hearts. We have a new creation, a new life within us. And we follow God's laws not because it's his laws that keep us in covenant community, but it's because it's written on those new hearts. Our new hearts desire to follow God's laws. And that we know God personally and he knows us. It is a personal relationship that we have with him as born-again believers, as new creation in Jesus. Not only that, it is a one-way covenant. Meaning God does all of this for us because of our faith. We do not maintain our salvation. God is the one who does that. Notice there is no obligations on our part in this. Unlike the law of Moses and the covenant with Moses, where it's like you had to keep the law for God to follow through on his part. That's a two-way covenant. They didn't keep the law, and so what did God do? He put them in exile. The covenant, the new covenant, the covenant of grace, is not that kind of covenant. It is a covenant where God has promised salvation for all who come in faith to Jesus for forgiveness of sin. And he will follow through on that covenant. So that is covenant community. That is what God has established for us. The next question we ask is, well, who is this covenant community for? As we've mentioned, if you are someone who has placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, you are part of this covenant that God has established. Now, at the same time, even though you're part of this covenant, this beautiful thing that God has established, we live in this world. And it is a broken world. It is a sinful world. There is this mess that is all around us and within us that God is working at redeeming and restoring and doing something beautiful with it. But we have to wrestle with this. What does it mean for us to be part of this covenant community and yet live in this world that is so broken? And so when you read in the New Testament, much of what you read, the New Testament being that part that begins with the Gospels, the stories of Jesus, and then those of his followers, right? The second half of the Bible there. When you read the New Testament, much of what you encounter is helping you understand how you can live out your covenant with God and others in this broken world. And it is walking us through that. And so much of what we talk about when we are together is, how do we do this? And one of the things that our church established long ago is this membership covenant that helps us understand as a congregation how we do this. Because it is one of the most difficult things to do, is to continue to live as part of this covenant community in this broken world. It's so much easier to just go live like the world. There's just so much temptation to go and do that, or to bring that into this space. What the challenge is how do we live this beautiful community that God has for us in the midst of this brokenness and resist the ways that the world says we should do this? So, what does the New Testament tell us about this covenant community? First, it tells us that the followers of Jesus are part of this covenant community. The covenant community, the Bible calls it church. It says it is the church. And the church is full of all followers of Jesus worldwide since people first believed in Jesus. That is what we would call the capital C church or universal church, is all believers worldwide. Second thing that we understand is that from the beginning of the church gathered in local assemblies, local gatherings in local communities and cities. The letters that Paul writes that we read in the New Testament are written to these local gatherings. He didn't write letters to the whole church. He wrote letters to the church of Colossae that we studied this summer. He wrote a letter to the church of Ephesus and Thessalonica and these different locations. He recognized the church gathers locally. Thirdly, is that the followers of Jesus that are part of that big church have always been joined together with one of these local bodies. one of these local gatherings that we call the church. Now, there may have only been one church in that community because there hadn't been the variety of things that have developed because of us, not because of God. Because of our disagreements, we have all of these other types of church that are out there. That doesn't mean that some of those things like the Reformation weren't important and good, but just saying that there's different types of churches because of us, not necessarily because of God. Because of things we've done wrong in it. So even though it was different then and there was one church in that city, if you follow Jesus, you were part of that church. You were in that with them. Last thing. While it is faith that saves us, and we've already identified that, and enters us into the church, the way you communicated or demonstrated your faith to those around you was always through baptism. That's how you identified publicly that you were a follower of Jesus Christ, was through baptism. In Acts chapter 2, at the beginning of the church, the first sermon that Peter preached when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, so this is Pentecost Sunday, the beginning of the church, and Peter is preaching, and those who are listening say, they are under conviction of the Holy Spirit, is the word I was looking for. They're under conviction. They say, what are we to do? And Peter replies in verse 38, Acts chapter 2. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's this invitation to faith and baptism so that you can be part of the covenant community. So when we ask who it's for, the answer is that it's always been for those who believe in Jesus and who've been baptized in His name. Now, why does covenant community exist? See, the story of God begins and ends with mankind in perfect relationship with God. We go to Genesis, we see it in the garden. We go to Revelation, we see it in the city. And in both places, we are in perfect relationship with God. Sin is done away with, it hasn't been there. And life is beautiful. In the middle of those two pictures is where we sit. And life is hard. It's messy. It's difficult. And to get through it, we need one another. We need a community. We need the support. We need the encouragement. We need the strength. This is why the church exists. Because we need each other. It doesn't mean that it's then easy for us to be in relationship with one another. It's still a broken and fallen world. We still have the old flesh. We still deal with those things. But this is why we use the language of covenant community, because the relationships are hard. It takes a commitment to one another to grow together in community. We already mentioned marriage covenant. Marriage is also a difficult relationship. Because of the brokenness that we have inside us, the brokenness around us, it is difficult. That is why when two people get married, they make these covenant promises together, because it's hard. It's a difficult relationship. It takes work. And in the same way, being in covenant community as a church takes work as well, because of our own sin within us that God is redeeming and restoring. So the covenant that we have helps us define how we are going to treat one another. It's what helps create the distinctiveness, the beautiful picture of the church, the attractive relationships that should be attractive to the world around us. That's one of the ideas that God had in this, is that the church should be, the relationships within our community should be so beautiful, so attractive, so loving, so forgiving, so caring for one another, that the unbelieving world looks at that and says, I want to be part of that. That's part of our testimony of how we behave as a church towards one another. But when we choose to treat others as the world does, when we choose to gossip, when we slander, when we attack one another, when we tear each other down, we present a much less attractive picture of the church to the world. And rather than looking at the church and the world saying, wow, that is something so special, I want to be a part of that, the world looks at that and says, that is the last place that I want to go. That's not what we want people thinking about our church. We don't want them looking at this community, our relationship, and saying, there's no way I would want to put myself there. Look how they treat one another. Look at what they do. Did you hear what they just said about that other person? I get that at work all week long. I don't want that on Sundays. It should be a place where it is a beautiful, loving, forgiving, attractive space. That's what we work towards. That's what we desire. As a covenant community, we have purpose in this life. And that purpose is to invite others into this space, into these relationships, so they too can flourish as a member of the community and receive that gift of eternal life. Matthew 28 gives us that purpose. Jesus tells us that all authority in heaven and on earth is given to him. And so he gives us this instruction. He says, therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. That's our command, to go out and do that and to invite others into this space, into this wonderful, beautiful space of our loving, forgiving, gracious relationships together. So then the last question that comes up is, why should I join a covenant community? Well, the first answer to that is, you are already part of a covenant community if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. You already are. You're part of the Big C Church if you're following Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12:27 tells us, now you are Christ's body and each of you is a member of it. But when you read the New Testament, what you see is that the church gathered in local spaces together. And the instructions of Paul to them, how they were to behave towards one another, implies a commitment to one another, that they were in relationship with one another. So joining a church doesn't make you part of the capital C church, part of the covenant community. You already are. But it declares to others around you where you are going to live out those practices of covenant community. It shows your commitment to care for, pray for the others within that particular covenant community. We've already related it to the other covenant that we're very familiar with in life, and that is that of marriage. And being in a church without joining the church, if we think of the analogy of a marriage covenant, is like saying that you're married without going through the commitments of marriage. Now, we've seen a shift and a change in our culture where couples, it's very common for them to live together and behave as though they are married without making those commitments to one another. And those of us that hold to a biblical understanding of marriage and what God calls us into are bothered and disturbed in our spirit with what we see in that. And yet we're not bothered and disturbed in the spirit in the casualness that people have in their commitments to one another in the covenant community of the church. And I think we should be. I think it should be a thing that we wrestle with, that we struggle with in the same way. Because it's the same kind of covenant that God is asking us to be in. It's this, do you care for one another? Are you committed to being in relationship with one another? Our covenant states that we freely and joyfully enter into this. So I want to be very clear here. Nobody except for the Holy Spirit of God gets to tell you what you should or shouldn't do, what you have to do. All right? So here I'm talking about this, and I'm using some strong words about the importance of this because I believe it, and I believe this is God's word to us that are gathered here today. But you need to be hearing from God's Holy Spirit on this. Because throughout that membership covenant, it takes the Holy Spirit of God to empower us to live in this way. So if God is saying to you to join this church, or He's saying to you that you need to be in another church, then you listen to the Holy Spirit of God. As much as God's Holy Spirit is speaking today, then you listen to that. You don't necessarily listen to me as a person. You listen and you discern for the Holy Spirit of God in that. But know that when you join this church, what we read, that's what you are committing to. That's the type of relationship that you are entering into, that you are asking somebody else to say, I want you to hold me accountable to being this type of person, because that's what I feel like God's Holy Spirit is calling me into. Again, it's not like joining Costco or joining Bi-Mart, is it? It is a covenant relationship. We make commitments to one another that I care enough for you and I love you enough to be in this messy relationship, but it is also beautiful at the same time, because it is the most loving, forgiving, and caring place in God's creation. At least it should be. And my prayer is that it is. And for many of us, it is. But there's a lot of people out there that struggle with that because they've been hurt in the church. And so we want to show them what God's church really should be like. And so that's what we're going to be talking about this fall as we go through this. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have an opportunity to respond in worship. Father God, Lord, we thank you for the vision of your church, God, and that you have entrusted your church to us, your people, under the leadership of Jesus Christ. And God, we confess we are not perfect. We make mistakes. Sometimes we don't live out this covenant very well, and then we have to come to one another and ask for forgiveness. But God, may we be a people that are a people about your covenant and making it known to this world that there is this beautiful, wonderful covenant community of Jesus followers that you can be a part of. And God, that as we do that and proclaim that, God, that we would see many that desire to be part of the covenant community of the followers of Jesus Christ. Whether that's here at Salt Creek, whether that's at one of our sister churches throughout North America, whether that's at one of our churches in our own community that is a little bit different than ours. God, it is your church, and it is the community of Jesus that we are about. And so, God, may you be glorified in all of that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.